Welcome to the One Season or Another podcast with your hosts, Skyla and Tel.
Here we'll talk about faith, family, our careers, and our adventures as a young married couple.
This episode is brought to you by the Mad Hatter Partying Event Rentals in Southwest Colorado.
And the Hamilton Brothers team, powered by the Blackmore Group, your source for all your real estate needs in Colorado.
And welcome back to another episode. It is our second guest episode, but returning guest. We got Stetson here.
What's up, everybody? Good to be back.
Yeah, it's because you guys liked our last podcast, Stetson. That's one of our higher performing ones. No one told me if they would eat horse meat or not, except for Skyla's students. She's a very hung chapter on whether or not they would eat horse.
My vote is eat horse.
Surprisingly enough, it goes with the demographic of boys will do it, girls seem to not. Also, she's got a lot of horse girls, so they get all offended when you're like, oh, I'd eat a horse.
Yeah, well.
What's your opinion? What would, do you think, like a donkey, like, do you think there's a primary horse that would taste better?
No, I don't think so.
My theory is it's like the Shetlands and stuff, they're a little more tender. I don't think a Clydesdale would be very good.
Probably not, probably a little tough, but I would definitely go for a nice grain fed horse.
It's just a cow.
Everybody I know that's eaten horse has loved it, so.
Exactly. It's just a cow. Just a different formed cow.
Yep, it's livestock all the same.
Facts. But, anyways, Steds, why don't you tell everyone, kind of where you jump on yours. We had a really exciting weekend starting Saturday because the 13th was the opening day of Colorado Turkey. And Steds and I are not turkey hunters. Like, that's one of the few animals I would say we don't put much effort into.
Killed one a couple years ago. I'm in high school. I took my wife out, Mary, and we killed one. That took us a couple days to get that done. But we had an exciting weekend because we actually have a ranch listed that is just plumb full loaded with turkeys. And the owner's super cool. He let us go out there hunting. He doesn't live here anymore. He's out of state. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. So we went out and hunted it.
Shot 360-something acres.
Yeah, 346 acres, I think, is what we're at. We're listed. That's what we've got listed over. And opening morning, Tel and Skyla doubled up, and I'm sure they'll do a podcast and talk about it. And then we killed another one yesterday morning. So we killed three, which is, I mean, and we didn't even make a dent. When we shot the one yesterday morning, there was still seven toms out in the field. And that didn't include the toms we could hear in the trees and in the brush. Tel thought he had two behind him. I know I had at least one more behind me. And I could hear some gobbling a couple hundred yards north up in some other thicker oak brush. So it's just loaded. So hopefully we can go whack another one tomorrow. We've got one or two more we want to get. And then we'll let it be. So there's plenty of turkeys, though. So, and it's exciting. So.
And it's easy turkey hunting because they're fired up. The strut's on. And we got our mom on, which is a big deal because she's been harassing us for years.
Yeah, I've taken her and I've had luck. Has not went well. But this is private and there's a lot of turkeys, so it's a lot easier. So.
And they respond to calls. It's fun. Like, you pull up and you hoot and there's 20 toms and they're gobbling and carrying on. And then...
Yeah, just surrounded by turkeys. Just set up on the edge of the field, a little bit decoy, doing a little calling and just waiting.
Yeah. So that was... It's fun. It makes a guy that doesn't like turkey hunting want to turkey hunt.
Yeah, no joke.
And
yeah.
We have to hunt our turkeys around here similar to the way we hunt elk, where it's like more spot and stock. And
yeah, listen for gobbles, trying to get in close. It's not like back east where they have just thousands. I read the other day, it was in Maryland, they killed like almost 6,000 turkeys. So I highly doubt Colorado's killing 6,000 turkeys. I bet we're around 2,000 or so.
I saw Montana broke their all-time state record for turkey harvest just in their youth season.
Oh, geez.
But turkeys are the most successful conservation story in American history. So
one of them, for sure.
One of them, yeah. It's like them and waterfowl. So there's plenty of turkeys. Don't get worried.
Yeah, in our area, we didn't have turkeys. We're talking to my dad. They introduced them in like the 90s, he thought, like early 90s, late 80s. So
and they're here.
And now, yeah, they went from no hunting season for like 10 years, and then it sounded like it went to a draw, and then now it's just open. So
over the counter. And there's a plethora. And I've seen some guys.
I have some buddies that they killed three opening weekend in public. Good. Yeah.
Not talking to some friends of ours. I got one buddy that's really big into turkey hunting. He has not had best of luck.
No.
Yeah. But he's also been way more infatuated with going over to Utah and picking up shit, so.
It has its place.
But also in the fun hunting world is we'll start seeing some African stuff show up to the shop this week or next week, it sounds like.
Yeah, we get my shipments coming back and then my parents' shipments coming back. Their shipments should be... It's already at the tannery. They've split up the hides and the horns, and then the horns should be here. Horns and skulls should be here, I would say, the next couple days. It's like Monday, so it should be here probably middle of the week. And mine should be here pretty soon as well. Mine got a new work on the 9th or 10th, and then I'm waiting for approval from U.S. Fish and Wildlife for all my crates. And info, and then it'll be shipped to Michigan, then shipped to me. So I'll probably about 2 weeks out before I see my stuff, my horns.
It's a very roundabout way of getting things back to America after.
Yeah, four and it should only take about 6 months, but I'm almost close to a year. So.
Well, that's yeah. We're chatting up. You're 2 months away from your 1 year anniversary.
Yes.
And you guys went on your honeymoon.
Right after.
Yeah, and it's our parents are a year out, the same.
Yeah, and I got another buddy that just, I don't even think he's got his shipped yet, and he went before both of us. Yeah. Well, actually, he got back.
2 weeks before your wedding?
No, right before, like a couple days before mine, because he didn't come to the wedding because he was in Africa.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's painful, you, especially consider, like, you know, you spent $20,000 or whatever to go do this. And that's the easier stuff. The stuff when you're hunting like dangerous game and CITES list animals.
Yeah, that can take a year, 2 years. Elephants will take like 5-6 years to get back. So
it's all about proper permitting and stuff. And
government BS. That's what it all is.
Bureaucratic BS.
Government's trying to tell another government what to do with their animals. So.
And it's, I think it probably
has its purpose.
Has purpose, but I think it hinders some people from going like to Africa to hunt and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive. It like adds up, like fees and costs and all that kind of stuff. So.
And it's just, I mean, it's hunting, it's non-instant gratification. People get grumpy about a year for taxidermy, but...
Yeah, shoot, I'll get the... We just got the stuff back, and now the tannery's going to take another 10 months just to tan the hide. So, we realistically aren't going to see a mount till almost 2 years past the hunt, yeah. So, which is fine, whatever.
Except for hurts our SCI banquets, cool mounts, because we have to wait so long.
Yeah, 2026 should be pretty good. Shot lots of mounts.
Yeah.
But, 25, I don't think we're going
to
have any.
I was talking to taxidermists for waterfowl, and like those dudes are 18 to 24 months out too. So it's not just international stuff. Taxidermists are backed up. For one, I think there's less and less taxidermists each day. Also,
yeah, for sure.
If you want to be, it seems like if you want to make the money and do it, get in the bird taxidermy. Those guys are full.
Yeah, they're full, and it's a lot less input costs. So it's pretty good business, I think. You can do a lot more too, a lot more volume.
Didn't know you had to be federally licensed to do waterfowl.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I kind of had an inclination to it.
Because you guys aren't.
No, Colorado doesn't require any licensing.
Unless you wanted to mount birds.
Yeah, then you got to go through.
And that's all through the migratory bird.
Yeah, it's just basically, I think you just got to learn how to make sure you track them and all that kind of stuff for stuff like that and tagged properly. But I don't know how to do that. I'm not a taxidermist anymore.
But in Stetson's post-hunting depression, he began the search for the next set, and we actually spent about 2 weeks, sent in our deposits and booked what will be my first trip to Africa and Stetson's second. We're actually going as a family. We're going to go north of South Africa to Botswana in March of 2025.
Yep, all six of us. And me, Mary, you, Scala, and our parents. So,
and we're primarily, well, we all have our different niches. Stetson is going after eland, which is...
It's a big, large antelope species.
It's a large antelope species.
Yeah, look it up. It's about 2,000 pounds. They're huge.
They're kind of like
a Brahma bull.
But they dwarf those things.
Yeah, they do. So, and then Tail's going after kudu because this area has like, I think we spoke about it a little bit last time, has like the best, in my opinion, everybody I've talked to. I've talked to guys that have been on 17 trips. This was their favorite place to go. The largest kudu in Southern Africa. These are all greater kudu and like, if you don't know much about inches, so I killed a greater kudu in South Africa. It went 52 inches, which is a nice kudu. It's very respectable for a greater. He's killing multiple kudu every year, breaking 60. And these are free-range kudu. These aren't high-fence kudu. So that's huge. That's going to be pretty dang exciting. Between the six of us, we're shooting a couple kudu. We ought to be able to kill one jumbo. I was talking to one guy. And they weren't even shooting kudu under 58 inches, which is insane. And they sit one night watching a whole bunch of roads and some water, and they seen like, this is 200,000 free range acres that we'll be hunting. They seen like 10 bulls that broke 55, but nothing that broke like 58, which is just, enormous. It's huge.
Yeah, I'd be very content with a 55 inch kudu.
Yeah, my 52 was humongous, I thought. And then I can imagine. And a lot of it, it's about the same size, but they just got a lot more depth in their curls and stuff like that. So 60 is going to be cool.
Yeah, and Skyla, she's going to, and she'll talk a little bit, but we're going to, she wants a Gims buck real bad, which is, to the best of my understanding, also called an oryx. And, but in America, because there are free range oryx in America.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you ever get a chance to do some research, New Mexico, Texas started with some exotic animals. There's ibex in New Mexico as well, And what stems from is GIs on post-World War II smuggling animals into the country.
Well, I think White Sands had to do with the nukes, like the missile range.
The missile range. Yeah, that's why Odd Adder in America, those, they got snuck back
in. Those were snuck in by World War II.
And that's why the Ibex were in New Mexico as well, is they were snuck in.
Yeah, from my understanding. So, yeah, so when, like, when you go to Africa, you build packages. So, like, me and Mary were focused on Elan, Kudu, and then Waterbuck. We're both going to shoot Waterbuck. And then we're going to be there for 7 full days, so you can shoot as much stuff as you want. It's kind of a la carte, really. It's just what you see, right? It's all native animals to Botswana. And then tell you guys are doing Kudu, Waterbuck, Gemsbuck, Red Hardbeast, Springbuck. That's kind of what you're doing. Yeah, that's what you... Yeah.
What's cool is we're both... Seth and I are both going to take our bows, too, and try to do some bow hunting. You tried over in Africa with a warhog on your recurve. It didn't pan out all the way.
Yeah, I hit a warhog, but hit him too high. He ducked my arrow crazy bad at 18 yards, and then I hit him high, and then... never found him, so.
So we're going back with, are you going to take your compound or your reaper?
Compound. Probably take a compound. I don't know. We'll see.
And I think I've got the intention of a red hearted beast with my bow, which will be
just maybe cool. Too hard.
We'll find out. But if not, we did a, Stetson kind of showed up to the house this morning with some cool new toys. So we might end up taking those over, but you want to tell everyone?
Yes, I have a friend that was selling a whole bunch of guns because his... Him and his dad used to go to Africa a bunch. They don't go anymore, and they just have a pile of guns. So he was hitting me up the other day about, he had some guns he was going to sell. Oh, cool, send me some pictures. And I asked him if he had any big bores, and big bores are just big caliber rifles they use in Africa. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got a couple of them. So we chatted, and then he ended up, I had to meet him for some work stuff today, and he ended up bringing them, and then he just decided to cut me a huge deal on them, and I come home with a 416 Rigby, which is a huge big bore. I mean, you can shoot elephants with it. And then I got another big bore, which is a 375 H&H, which is also a gun you can kill an elephant with. So with these two big bore rifles, Tell's going to buy one, basically. He gave us a good deal because he just knew we'd appreciate him. He's not going to go back to Africa anytime soon. He still has some big bores. And he just knew we'd appreciate him, take care of him. These guns will probably be in our family forever. So,
and basically, I think we've already shot fires at 300.
Yeah, probably. So I'm going to buy one. Tell's going to buy one. Then we have them. So that way, if... We do a boys trip for a dangerous game. Yeah, like me telling my dad to share them. Or I'm going to shoot a dangerous game. Well, that's my goal before I'm 30. So
that's the next African trip.
So after Botswana, I'm going to have to start saving my pennies because I'm either going to do elephant, Cape Buffalo, or leopard. I don't know which one. Maybe a combo. But I got to save my pennies. Prices just keep going up.
Croc.
That's my goal. So now I got the rifles, so I'm good to go.
And that's half the battle because...
Well, yeah, some of these rifles are...
10K.
You spend what you want. Well, minimum for a big bore is $3,000, all the way up to 50.
We were in DSCI 2 years ago, and I mean, there's rifles that sell down there for $1 million.
Oh, yeah, but they're collector's items. Theodore Roosevelt rifles and stuff like that. But a working man's big bore you can pick up for a couple $1,000. But, you know, he gave us such a good deal, we couldn't say no. And I was going to have to buy one anyway, so I guess I got pushed into it. He's just a good guy. He just showed up with him, said, take him home, go shoot him.
And they're good, clean rifles. They've probably killed some stuff in Africa.
Yeah,
decent amount. But there, one's a, what is one? There's a CZ, and then there's a
Ruger.
Ruger.
Yeah, the 375 is a CZ, and then it's a Ruger is the 416.
And they both have Vortex scopes, and like they're.
I know Leopolds. They're both Leopolds.
Or Leopolds, right? And they're ready to hunt. Practice on spray dogs or something tomorrow with them.
Yeah, if you're a gun guy, like the 416 Rigby, the bullets I have right here are 400 grain solids.
And
they're probably
shoot.
Four inches. Long. I don't know. They're huge. And then the 375, you can get down to a little over 200 grains, kind of like a 30-06. But
these are like 275, I think, is what the grains are. We're saying we're looking at all the bullets.
So yeah, that's exciting.
Well, it's cool though. That's one of the big reasons. Like, it was a jump in. So too, is they're both, you say, commercial grade rifles that everyone has. And you can get the ammo for them. Not some crazy.
Yeah, some of these you got to reload all the ammo. So, like, if you take these guns to Africa and you happen to, because you have to ship your ammo separate from your gun, if you happen to lose all your ammo, you can just go to a sporting goods store in South Africa or in Africa and spend a pile of money because it's expensive and buy ammo. Or even some of these outfits have extra ammo. So,
yeah, as I was told in Mexico, the ammo is the cheapest part of the hunt, so you might as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, yeah, like a box of 20 rounds at like 416 is like $250, so it is not cheap.
No.
I think. I haven't really paid attention, but I know it's really expensive.
As I mean, these boxes are still $200 box of ammo right there.
Yeah, so.
But they're, it's a cool, not at all what I expected today to walk down here and see. But all the, nonetheless, we finally said we'll keep him forever. We don't
give him keep him forever and hand him down. And we don't need another one. I'd like to have a double, which is a side-by-side double.
There's
it's
something
just
like
iconic Africa.
Yeah, a beauty to hunting Africa with a breakover.
All these old Africa guys, ivory hunters, carried around big doubles. But I'll just take this. I'll probably... Like, I'd like to do elephant with open sights, so I'd probably pop the scope off of this 416 and take it on an elephant hunt. So, thick brush.
We watched a video the other day of a dude hunting elephants, and he has scope on, and he couldn't even see that when he saw
His PH ended up shooting it. He ends up just pulling the trigger after the PH shoots, falls over backwards, and then shoots again as it's running off. But
I think people underestimate how dangerous elephants are.
Yeah, dangerous is like the scariest thing to hunt in Africa, apparently. Because you get them in thick brush, the cows are super mean. This was a tuskless cow we watched, and she come full bone.
That's most animals, though. Like, if you look at animal attacks, females attack much, much more.
They definitely can be. So, like lions, they bite you, they kill you. So you gotta deal. Leopards will just bite you and chew you up and give you a whole bunch of stitches. They're probably not gonna kill you. An elephant's gonna turn you into strawberry jam.
Yeah.
Like they're just gonna smush you.
Still, nonetheless, the most dangerous is the hippo.
Yeah, they kill the most. But talking to guys I know and everything that are hunters, the scariest one they've ever done is elephant, so that's exciting. And I'll be honest, guys, you can get an elephant hunt a lot cheaper than you think.
Yeah, well, I saw one at the Utah SCI sold this weekend.
Like $9,500 in Zimbabwe, which is cheap. Like, or you can go to a tuskless cow, which is the most dangerous hunt. They're cows without tusks, so they shoot them because they want them out of the genetic pool, and they're super aggressive, so they're bad on villages and stuff like that. You can go kill them for $3,000. For a full-blown elephant hunt, so.
And they sold,
There was a walrus hunt went for $150,000.
They had a...
You can't even bring
deer
back.
Deer tag. They're that San Juan, Utah deer tag.
Yeah, I think it's like Elk Ridge over there or something like that.
Yeah. And it sold for like $68,000, and then they had an African hunt sell for $22,000, which was incredible, because that's not what we get for our African hunts.
Yeah, they're like $2,000 for our African hunts.
It was 18 animals.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, but... Yeah, so, I mean, what's your thoughts, Tel? What are you thinking? What are you excited for in Africa? Anything particular standing on your mind?
Biltong.
Yeah, biltong. It's the type of jerky they have over there.
That's something
it's delicious.
I told Scott, I was like, be prepared for the food to suck compared to bougie Mexican tacos.
Yeah, well, that's just different.
It's experience.
It's just different.
As food. I said, though, like,
I enjoyed all
there,
it. Lots of meat.
Yeah, sitting there in rural Africa eating meat you've shot, like, it's going to feel awesome. I'll say, if you want to see a cool... recap of Mazatlan waterfowl hunting, the hunt for 100 or the road to 100 just posted their cinnamon teal hunt in Mazatlan. They were two hotels down from us, and it's just a cool thing. But the food, and also like the neutral of Omaha style animals, where it's just animal after animal and diversity.
Yeah, it's game rich. Even on this free range stuff, it just, I mean, there's just piles of animals, it sounds like.
And seeing stuff that, you know, what sucks is and makes it's a double-edged sword. It makes you want to work harder and go do it. But I have everyone in the family now has these fun stories of Africa and all these things they've done. And me and Scott are like, yeah.
But you haven't seen enough. So.
But that, the kudu will be cool.
Like, yeah. And like talking to the guys, like, you'll see probably, we'll probably see 40, 50 kudu a day.
Bull
and, kudu, and then probably 10 to 15 being bulls, which is crazy.
Big.
Go look for 10 bull elk in Colorado. It'd take you 6 months.
That'd be cool. I'm not excited for the 18-hour flight.
Yeah, it's like 16 and a half on the way there, just from the one way. That's not including like a little flight out of Durango to Houston to Newark over is like 17 hours. Then so what we'll do is we'll drive to Durango. That's an hour from Durango to Houston. That'll be hour and a half to our flight. And then we'll do Houston to Newark. That's like 4 hours. Newark to South Africa. That's 16 and a half going there. And then we'll spend the night in Johannesburg that night. And then we'll get on another flight the next morning. Fly to Mon, Botswana. And that is, I think, 3 or 4 hours. So.
Then what's that? What's
and then
that?
We drive 4 more hours to get to camp. So it's like 2 days worth of travel. And on the way back, it's like 17 and a half hours because you're against the jet stream coming back on the plane. So
are we going to Germany?
No,
straight across.
Joburg to America. It's a lot of travel, but it's part of the experience.
Well, I think one of the cool parts will be as soon as we land in Botswana in that 4-hour drive, because we'll be driving through and seeing animals and enjoying rural.
Yeah, you definitely might be. I don't know. Never done it, but I'm sure.
But that's one thing, because as we mentioned prior, I have very motion sickness, but I got my glasses now, so I ain't worried. But that'll be cool, and to see things that we've personally dreamed about. It's some stuff like, let's probably see some animals we don't even think we'd see.
So. Yeah, we might see elephant, lion,
very
leopard.
Sad there's no sable.
Yeah.
Sable or lechwe.
Lueche.
Lueche. Red lueches. But it will be all fun.
There's plenty of stuff to shoot.
Yeah, just a reason to go back to.
Yeah, so it'd be fun.
And
we might, it's all free range where we're going, minus a little bit of, there's one big giant high fence down there, but you might see elephant, lions, leopards, I don't know. I definitely know they're all in the area.
Well, that's where the Okavango Delta is, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not hunting by the Okavango Delta. That's by Mon where we land, but we're going to drive south into Kalahari, so.
Because in the Okavango, you know, that's hippo and croc.
Yeah, the guy we're going with, he's killed about 350 elephant, it sounds like, in the Okavango.
So, and that's, my understanding is right, it's one of the most biodiverse areas
of
the world.
I don't know if the Okavango is or not. I know there's a lot of animals, a lot of hippo, croc, all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
I'm also excited to eat croc. That's a big thing because
yeah, I don't know if you get to eat any of that.
Everyone says that's the thing. So
you probably won't get to, but
yeah. But the turkey we had the other day was pretty good. That was the surprising thing about this turkey we killed is we pulled three. There's probably 30 pounds of meat sitting there.
Yeah, between the three, about 10 pounds of bird. It seemed like
we're gonna smoke the legs and do some like carnival style food with the legs. And I made nuggets last night for one of Skyla's friends came down, was doing a job interview in Pagosa, so he stayed with us. And I don't think he's ever had any wild game in his life, so that was kind of a fun little thing to introduce him to and try. But the food, I think that's one of the most parts of traveling that everyone thinks about and some don't, is when you go over there, like, food is culture, and eating, especially wild game in a foreign country, and something like is subsistence to those people, will be a cool and unique experience. Especially if we get a chance, like, oh yeah, we shot this the day before.
Yeah, we definitely will with this guy. It's like a... He's not super well known. It's kind of a little bit smaller of an outfit. Takes quite a few clients, but it's really just him and a couple other guys. His grandfather or something like that, from my understanding, founded the town that we're going to that we'll be close to. His cousin owns all the free range stuff they have all the beef on, and he does all the outfitting. So
it'd be a good time. So I'm excited for that, and we'll
only gotta wait like a year. So
350 days on it.
Yeah, which is tough. Try not to live your life with vacations, but
live your life on hunting trips.
Not vacations. Yeah, it's tough.
Work harder so you can spend more money.
Yes.
But, well, we, actually, one little thing, too, is by the time we publish this, because it'll take me a few days to edit, we will also, Seth and I, on the world of business side, are looking for an assistant. So, if you're in the Southwest Colorado area and have any interest in real estate assistance.
Yeah, we're putting out applications to a part-time assistant, so. And I'll just pull it up here real quick. I should be able to
tell them what we're looking for. The main thing is, if you are tech savvy, if you don't know how to run a computer, I'm sorry, we do not want you.
Yeah, we're looking for somebody that's definitely tech savvy.
More tech savvy than us, because we've actually recorded this podcast twice and I deleted it on accident.
Yeah. And if hire somebody that's better than you. We need somebody that's better than us.
If you're a cool assistant, maybe you'll get on our podcast.
Yeah, that's cool. So, and it'd be part time starting out, but this does have the opportunity to grow into a full time position with actually really good pay. So, because we're going to put this out, we're looking for email, kind of roles and responsibilities, email and calendar management, relationship management, that's with our clients, document preparation, social media, marketing, lead gen, general administrative support, sign management, so you help with the signs, showing coordination, and then we have like some CRMs and stuff like that are all online that you'll be managing. So you've got to be tech-based.
And local, because we had a long debate. We talked to one of our friends in our office. She has a VA. VA virtual assistant. Most virtual assistants in America are actually out of the Philippines, but that's not something we wanted. We're in a people business, and we actually want someone that we can kind of be hands-on working with.
Yeah, and they'll be running errands and stuff for us. So you gotta be able to drive. You have a reliable car, and it'd be like 15 to 20 hours a week to start, and then like I say, could easily grow into a full-time job.
Yeah. And we have no problem training people. It's just as long as
you know how to run a computer.
Yeah. And you're easy to work with. And most importantly, you answer your phone.
Yep.
Because that seems to be the death of a realtor and the death of anyone in businesses. If you don't answer your phone, you're not going to do very well.
Yeah, you're not going to be having your roles of an agent or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes you might be on call with our clients. So you got to be able to answer your phone. Don't be scared to answer your phone. But please, we're going to put it out on social media here real soon, probably in the end of the week.
If you know someone.
Which we actually might have posted by the time Patel posts this podcast. But yeah, we're looking for somebody. So we're going to take applications. You'll see on the post. Look on Facebook or Instagram. It'll show you how to apply. So
you probably get a free hat.
Yeah, or two.
Probably get a free hat. And we're pretty fun guys to work with.
Yeah, and we don't have an office, so you can work from home.
Yeah.
We'll have some roles and responsibility outside of the office, but for the most part, you are going to be working from home. So. Yeah.
And you would hang out with us. But that is something we need to do another podcast, because we've had some financial changes in our life that are for the benefit of more the investor side of things, as well as real estate did well this year thus far.
So good so far.
We'll jump back and talk about that, our investment one.
Maybe we could do the we'll do it at the end of the year. We can go over everything.
Because one investment we did make this year could roll into and be strategic in growing other things. So we'll get in that. But thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share our podcast. Still tell us if you eat horse meat because no one answered except for at church. I got a lot of weird.
Drop the horse meat.
Weird stares. No, it's important. It's the facts that people want to know about. And we will see you next time.
See ya.